The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter. We've been in Galatians for a little while, and we've been talking about Paul and him writing to a whole slew of churches in the region called Galatia, mostly what is now current-day Turkey. The only letter of Paul to write to a bunch of churches in a region. So his other letters are to the church, say, in Corinth or individual towns. This letter was a circular letter to all of the churches in a particular region. And Paul, if you will recall, that rhymes. Paul, if you will recall, is laying out the difference between a true gospel and a false gospel. True gospel, false gospel. He talks about what a true gospel looks like. He talks about what the apostle of a true gospel, that rhymes too, looks like. He talks about what a false gospel looks like. He talks about what the apostle of a false gospel looks like. And all along, he's been drawing a distinction between the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he says sets us free. We're also going to hear today another aspect of this gospel. It's relational, but this gospel sets us free. And the false gospel, and the one that he's talking about is how folks who come to faith in Jesus Christ, who used to be Jews, are wanting to hang on to that stuff. They're wanting to hang on to the things that make them Jewish. And not only are they wanting to hang on to it, they're wanting to impose that on new believers, no matter whether they were Jewish first. And Paul calls them Judaizers. If Robert were able to preach last week, he would have done a beautiful, fulsome sermon, I just know it, on the fourth chapter of Galatians, where he's talking about two covenants, two different kinds of religion, how we are children of a promise. And now in the fifth chapter of Galatians, we talk about freedom in Christ, we talk about life in the Spirit, and we talk about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, which you know are the fruit of the Spirit. Set that aside for a moment and let me tell you that I've been thinking a lot about family lately. Now, I was visiting my IWS family, Institute for Worship Studies, and it was good to see all of those people I graduated with or who are going through classes to now, but that's not the family I'm thinking about today. And I got to see our extended Ancient Future Faith Network family and met some for the first time that I've never seen in person. We had some wonderful conversations, and I hope that at some point we can share some of that with you, because there's some wonderful things happening, not only across the United States and North America, Canada, but also around the world. But that's not the family I'm thinking about either. And then, glory, I got to go home to my family, whom I actually also like, in East Tennessee. And I stayed with my mom and dad, and we had shrimp and grits, and we had heirloom tomatoes, and we had wonderful corn, fresh corn on the cob, and it was absolutely delightful. And for the first time, I think, in 12 years, all four kids were together on Father's Day, which was really neat. And we talked a lot about family because mom and dad wanted us to all come together and talk, among other things, about end-of-life plans and issues and that kind of thing. And that was teary, but also really important. But that's not the family I'm thinking about today. I already mentioned it, but I'm just absolutely in love with you. And whenever I'm away, what is it they say? Absence make it. That's true. Because I thought about you 24/7, well, not 24/7, but almost 24/7, because I love you and I love this part of the body of Christ. And let me tell you again, I travel a lot of places. I hear people talk about their churches. I sit in some church services, and I won't say which, but Susan, it struck me that this one particular worship service was a lot like Kabuki Theater. I didn't fall asleep, but it moves very slowly. Everybody knows exactly what's going to happen next. And it's almost an homage to the institution rather about the relationship itself. And I tell you, the more I travel, the more I give God thanks for what's happening here at Epiclesis. It's amazing. I hope you understand that. Okay. But that's not actually the family I'm thinking about this morning either. As I was looking over this passage in Galatians, I want to show you something that I saw. Would you turn, please, to Galatians 5? And in your listing of scripture, it says we're looking at verse 1. So let me read that right quick like. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What's he talking about? He's talking about going back to that Jewish custom. You don't have to go back and be circumcised. You don't have to go back and fulfill the requirements of the law. You don't have, why would you? It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Why would you go back? Why would you put that yoke back on? Have you ever seen a yoke that goes across a beast of burden of some kind? It's a heavy beam that lays across the neck and you've got the U thing that, you know, and they pull a heavy. Why would you put that back on? Why would you go there? I was thinking of that piece of scripture that says the dog returns to its vomit. Why would you do that? Why? Why go back? And then a little farther along in chapter 5, we notice this business about what we've been called to, verses 13, 14, and 15. Scan those right quick like. He talks again about freedom. What is it we've been set free to do? Well, it's not to indulge the sinful nature, but it is to love one another. That's what we've been set free to do. But I want to show you what I saw between verses 16 and verse 25. You've got an incredible contrast. And it reminded me that we've had a contrast in this particular series in Galatians between the false gospel and the true gospel. The false apostle and the true apostle. And in verse 16 and following, Paul lays out what the desires of the sinful nature are. Let me start reading in 6. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The literal translation is, if you live by the Spirit, there will be no way you can gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Wow. Sinful nature, Spirit. False gospel, true gospel. He's laying out contrasts. All right, here we go with a list. Look at 17 and following. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You couldn't make a bouncy little song about the sinful desires of the flesh, could you? It just doesn't trip off the tongue. Idolatry, no, it doesn't work. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Well, I went back to the church fathers, as I love to do, and there is one church father who's anonymous but has been given the name Ambrosiaster because he writes a lot like Ambrose. And he says that, get this, he says that the acts of the sinful nature are the offspring of the world. What is offspring? What are we talking about? Children, progeny, result, fruit, kids, the offspring of the world. Well, that got my mind to thinking about, somebody said the word heirs. And look what he says toward the end of verse 21. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit. My mind went back to that meeting in my parents' sunroom where all four children are standing around. And they're talking to us, my parents are, about our inheritance. And at the end of the conversation, I led in prayer. Oh, this really got Mom, by the way. I led in prayer. And you have to get the scene. We're standing around this table, and they've got all of their paperwork out. It's the will. It's the end-of-life directives, all of that kind of stuff, investments and so on. And you know what? Standing right there are my precious parents, 88 years old, some of the most godly people you'll ever meet in your whole life. And I prayed a prayer, and I said, Lord, none of this paperwork makes a big difference. Because our inheritance is in this good name that comes from Lois and Jack Alford, 88 years old. We rise and we call them blessed. It was quite the moment. Right here in verse 21, Paul says, I want to warn you that if you bear the offspring of the world, if you bear this kind of fruit, and look at that list, I'm going to bet you there's one of them in there that you've fallen into. Maybe not right now, but you have in the past. He says, I'm going to warn you, if you bear that fruit, you will not inherit. So that gets me thinking about family. That's the family I'm thinking about today. You and I have been called into a marvelous inheritance, a family, the family of God. I'm going to say that again. You and I have been called into a family of God, the family of God, a beautiful inheritance. Does that give you goosebumps? Where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? Then he lists, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit. We learned about the offspring of the world. How many of them are there? Have you counted them? Let's see here. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. That's 10. Dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I don't know how many are encapsulated in the and the like part, but there's 15 of those right there. And the list could probably go on. By the way, the church fathers say, it's kind of funny to me, it's not meant to be an exhaustive list. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against these, there's no law. We're not under the law. We're not under the law. Why would you go back to that? A dog goes back to its vomit. Gross. Why would you put that yoke back on you? Why would you cause people to have to do stuff that you yourself weren't able to keep up with? Why would you do that? No, we're not under the law. We're living by the Spirit. We're walking on our baptisms. We don't bear the offspring of the world, but rather we should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Epiclesis, where's your fruit? Where is your fruit? Where is it? We are a family of fruit. Which also occurred to me when I was sitting around the table with the Alford clan this last week. We're weird. We really are weird. You thought I was weird? My mom's, she's a hoot. And my brother, good gracious. The fruit family. Where's your fruit? Where is it? Love, joy, peace, patience. Boy, I bet that's one that you might need to work on. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, our world needs gentleness right now. I sat in on a Bible study at a former church. and we were talking about the upside-down world that we're living in. And we said, you know what? We rail as Christians against the mess of the world and forget how much of it is our fault. How much of it is our fault because we haven't borne fruit? How much of it is laid at our feet because we haven't been salt and light in a world that's so tasteless and dark? Who are you going to vote for in the fall, Chris? I'm going to vote for me to bear more fruit of the Spirit. That's what I'm going to do. And what do you think about the immigrant situation? I'm thinking that I need to bear more fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against those things, there's no law. I don't have to go do those. Because the Spirit does them through us. If we walk by the Spirit, if we're walking out our baptisms, why in the world would you go back? We have been engrafted into a fruit family. Why would we go back? Paul concludes the chapter by saying, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. I remember one time that I fell into the arms of one of my seminary professors weeping over something in my life that I desperately wanted healing for. And this person very wisely said to me after I said, I want Jesus to kill it, very wisely said to me, to what extent have you crucified that thing? Maybe part of fruit bearing is a result of crucifixion of self. Maybe if we crucify sexual immorality, maybe if we actively crucify impurity and debauchery and idolatry and witchcraft and all that other stuff on the other side of the fence, maybe that results in fruit bearing. Paul says, we who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step by the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why once in the fruit family, why once engrafted into the body of Christ, would you go back to anything else? Let me share a final story with you. I went to go visit the oldest surviving matriarch of my former church. I'll call her Rose. She's 96 years old, and I always go see her when I'm in town. She was at the beauty parlor and didn't have a way home, so I drove by. She had to introduce me to all her friends. This is Pastor Chris. I had to go up and down all the little stations, and the ladies took the thing off their head. Hi, Pastor Chris. And I took Miss Rose home. She lives just a stone's throw away, and she's mostly blind. She cannot drive, and she's been falling a lot lately, which for her, the floor is very close. She's only about that tall. Maybe that's why she's avoided major injuries. But let me tell you a story about her that I think perfectly illustrates this. She is a longtime single lady, never married. She taught in the school systems for about 8,000 years, I don't know, forever. And in fact, she now talks about classes from the 1940s that still get together and have her come and they talk about old times. It's just amazing. She never had kids, but her brother did. And her brother had a daughter who went bad. And she hooked up with some man some time ago. And this niece of Miss Rose had a child outside of marriage, a boy. This boy, in his whole life, never knew who his daddy was. And that part of the family kind of alienated themselves from the rest of Miss Rose's family. And they fell into a life of scheming and petty crime and stuff like this. It's very sad. She loved that little boy. And she poured a lifetime of VBS and Sunday school and that kind of thing into him. And literally engrafted him into her family. She made him, if their last name was Smith, a Smith. Brought him in to the family. And he started to do good. He was running a small business in town, and she loved him. And he loved her, or at least it seemed. And Miss Rose, as she got older, entrusted all of her end of life and investments and power of attorney over to this young man. And about 2 years ago, made the terrible discovery that he had returned to his vomit. He left the family. Could have been bearing good fruit, but went back to the old family, the old way of life. And he took her for every penny she had. She said, "Chris, I had no idea I had that much money." She had saved up faithfully all those years. She had over $300,000 that he drained away and has nothing to show for it. She has a small pension from some job that she's living on now. She said, "I guess he thought I would die before he did and no one would be the wiser." She just keeps on ticking. Took her for everything. Here's the rub. She said, "Chris, he stole early what would probably have been his anyway. And now he's in a federal prison in another state, serving out a sentence for doing that." The desires of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. She found out that the money that she probably would have also given for the gospel of Jesus Christ went to gambling and prostitutes and drugs and alcohol. But she says, "You know what? And here comes her fruit. I love him. I have joy. I'm at peace because I know where I'm headed and I know whose family I ultimately belong to because I've been engrafted into the family of God and there's nothing I have to worry about." False gospel, real gospel. False apostles, real apostles. Desires of the sinful flesh, offspring of the world, that's one kind of family. You and I have been engrafted in another kind of family, a fruit family, where if we walk by the Spirit, we will exhibit and bear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Epiclesis, where is your fruit? I'm not judging, but I am fruit inspecting. I expect you to do the same for me too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks today for the family of God into which we have been engrafted. And now in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, and we don't have to live according to the law. Thanks be to God. Oh, it gives me goosebumps to think about it, that I have an inheritance that will not be destroyed by moth or rust or fire or decay, that can't be stolen by somebody who is an offspring of the world. But my inheritance is sure and safe in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will help me to bear good fruit, and that as I am in the vine, your life's blood courses through me, and that the people around me will see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I pray that for all of us now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.